Hello, and welcome to Champion Casters, a podcast about heat and craft, where we analyze the motifs and themes behind your favorite film and television and podcast, Michaels, and everything we say is with spicy wings in our mouth. I am your host and interviewer for this event, Joseph Tomlin.
And I guess I am the guest. We've now figured out how we're going to delineate. I am the guest this time, Michael Ruiz.
Michael, thank you so much for joining me for this episode, this special bonus episode of Champion Casters. For those of you who have been listening to the entirety of season two, we have been leading up to this moment where one of us is going to be questioned while eating spicy wings with increasingly hot sauces. Yes, this is a hot one, Spiff. Instead of seeing us, you will be hearing us. You will be hearing every crack, every crinkle of a wing, every drip of sweat that goes into our mouth from the heat that we are about to experience. If that is, if that's your kink, great. If it's not, I'm sorry. You might hear a little bit of smacking in here, but for this episode, we should probably line it up. We don't have a lot of money, so we didn't buy like a whole heat pack from Heatonist, which is the official site for hot wings. We just bought a trio pack, which has the classic hot sauce, the Los Calientes Rojo sauce, and the hot ones Last Dab Apollo version.
Yeah,
those are the three that we got from that show, and we'll be introducing our hot sauces along the way in case you're curious. But right before we get to our great questions, Michael, how you feeling?
You know, I just got done telling you this as we were off mic. I'm kind of a little bit nervous-sided, mostly because I'm worried for my tummy. Like, I'll be forthright. It's one of those things that, like, listen, socializing gives my stomach a little bit of upset, you know? The fear of, like, I have to go to, like, I remember recently I had to go to, like, a work event where I had to go, like, meet people. And I was sitting there on the car ride over, like, my stomach is in fucking knots. Just because I'm like, what am I going to talk about with them? What am I going to do? You know, like, all that weird socializing fucked my stomach up. I didn't eat anything that night because I was so worried about socializing with people. So this, I guess I have you, my best friend, you know, to help remedy this. But man, am I a little bit nervous that my tummy is going to be real upset tomorrow?
Yeah. No, that's a very, you know, that's a valid fear. Something that I don't think people realize because of the magical powers of entertainment is that once that episode cuts, like, that guest is probably having the shits or maybe even vomiting.
Absolutely. You
like,
know.
We don't know how red Sean Evans's blood shit is, you know? Like, we don't know. We don't know.
Yeah.
Michael, to ease yourself through this process, what do you have on hand to make this easier? What drinks or food on the side do you have to quell your pain?
I honestly just have water and almond milk. That's all I have. I'm sorry, not almond milk. Oat milk.
Okay.
I don't know if oat milk works the same way. Like, I don't think the lactose is the same, which is supposed to be the thing that kills the heat. So we're going to find out today. That's all I got. What do you got?
All right. So I don't have any milks here in my apartment. I need to go to the grocery store. But what I do have on hand is a large jug of water.
Yes.
Some orange juice and a strawberry flavored White Claw.
What? You don't have any milk?
I know.
Okay.
I don't have.
All right. Yeah, okay. Then I can't hit the milk either, because if you're not going to hit the milk.
No, I'm not going to hit the milk now.
I'm not going to hit the milk. I'm not going to hit the milk. All right. Keep going. I will suffer.
Okay.
Bro, I will suffer alongside you.
Okay. We're suffering together, but you're going to suffer through questioning. So let's begin with our very first wing. We're both taking a piece of the classic hot sauce. Oh, we should be clear for our listeners. Michael's a vegetarian. Fun fact. If we haven't mentioned it on the podcast before, Michael's vegetarian. I happen to live with a vegetarian as well. So we're both eating, I believe, Impossible chicken nuggets as our wings.
Are you doing nuggets too?
Yeah, I think I have the same bag.
Okay, the one with the teal top and the white bottom?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Okay, see, this is a tiny thing. This is like, you know, this is not a Hot Ones roast or anything like that. But it is a little bit of like, I always think in my head, those are some big wings that people don't eat, you know? And that's, you know, like, once again, it's part of the thing. But those are some big wings that people don't eat. And so I always wish that people ate more of it. So that's why I got nuggets, so that I actually would be able to eat all of it, right? Because I'm just going to try to, like, put the whole nugget in my mouth and just chew, 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 swallow, you know?
Best of luck to you. You're not just going to take, like, one bite of the nugget. You're going to try to eat the whole thing?
We'll see. I mean, we'll see. I don't know if that that's going to actually happen or not, but we'll see. We'll see.
Okay. Well, we have to see right now because we're starting.
Yes,
we are starting with the classic hot sauce.
Yeah. All right. First one.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, every day's a blessing.
Cheers.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, it's hot sauce, you know. I feel like there's very little heat in that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, honestly, very mild in flavor. Honestly, also very, very mild. Like, I wish there were more flavor and there was more flavor in the sauce.
Yeah.
So, Michael, our very first question for you. We're going to start off with a food-related question. Guest on the show, Kyle, asks, what would the Robins of the Bat family eat for breakfast? As we all know, Michael, you're a pretty big Bat family fan and specifically a Robin fan, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we're especially with the new game Gotham Knights out or coming up soon. I feel like I've been thinking about them a lot more and like the specific ways in which they're all like different from each other. Mm-hmm. Man, I think this is such an interesting question just because I think it depends on like when they are Robin and like when they are like their predecessors after the fact, right? Because you know that like Damian Wayne, the current Robin, Batman's son, you know he must have like pancakes, but he cuts them and has like perfect proportions kind of style food where like he has it all like perfectly cooked, perfectly seasoned. Or he just has the giantest sweet tooth and he is just eating like pancakes with like a bunch of syrup and shit all over it. You know, Red Hood has probably got some like giant like breakfast burrito kind of thing filled with like, you know, like sausage, egg, you know, like different types, assortments of meats and such. Fucking, I'm debating whether or not Nightwing is like the breakfast vegetable of the bunch, right? Because he needs something airy because he's going to be out flipping all day. He probably eats pretty clean. Like, of all the Robins, probably eats the cleanest, right? It's probably Dick. You know, Tim is probably the juicer. Tim is probably the juicer that has, like, a green juice for green juice for his breakfast. And Nightwing is the one that'll actually eat, like, real food. and Stephanie Brown is probably the most chaotic to be like, fuck it, I'm gonna eat. You know, I'll just eat whatever. She eats what's on the table. Yeah.
What's in the fridge? Eggs? All right, I'm just making straight eggs today.
Yeah, barely even seasoning.
Yep. Yeah, salt, pepper, chili flakes, that's all.
Yeah, you know, it's like the bare bones of seasoning. Man, it's one of those little tiny things, though, that just does remind me of how much I love that, like, group as a unit, and I wish that they all collectively got more time to be individualized and be recognized as, like, unique identities, because I do think when you see them all as a lineup, they can look very similar, but I do think when you actually do sit down and read those comics, man, like, do you see how different they are, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like, especially in the webtoon that came out recently, right?
Oh, big time. Yeah, big follower. Shout out to fucking Batwayne Family Adventures. Like, solid understanding of all those characters. And even when they deviate a little bit from what my mind imagines, like, I love it so much. Like, because it's just such a fun... It's such a take on the Bat Family that's, like, focused on fun, and I really love that.
Mm-hmm. Me too. All right, on to wing number two.
Yes.
I have Hernandez's salsa verde, which is in mild. So yeah. I've got a green chicken wing here. Michael, what do you got?
Yeah, I'll eat the same one you will. This is technically breaking my order a little bit, but we had the same. I think we have the same jar, so I think it's worth doing just because it's breaking my order a little bit. But yeah, throw a little green salsa in there, even though surprisingly, despite being a fan of all things green, I'm actually not a huge fan of green salsa. Like, it can have its place, really? Don't get me wrong, but I feel like I'm not the biggest, it's not my biggest thing, but we'll see how this goes.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. Like, it's, I'm not getting any heat from it. This is like flavored water, I'm not gonna lie.
Right. This is why I placed it at number two, because I wasn't sure if it was going to be hotter than the classic hot sauce.
Yeah.
But I will say, I think it has more flavor than the classic hot sauce.
Oh, 100%.
I'm sorry I'm shitting on Heatonist. I'm sorry. I know you work hard. But, like, you got nothing on Hernandez. So.
Yeah.
Jumping into question number two. Michael, you're a pretty big horror movie guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
We don't really talk about it on the podcast often because it doesn't really fit our vibe, but I want to know, what makes a genre so appealing to you, and what do you think is the pinnacle of the genre?
Oh my goodness. That's a very good question, Joe. God, did you shave your head for this? I think what I will go with is my answer I've been thinking about recently. I've actually been meaning to write about this a little bit. That is, I think good horror, at least, has a way of understanding that there are things to be afraid of in our world, things that are out of our control, no matter what they are, you know, whether it be, you know, inevitability, something like death or mortality in that way, whether it be like structures of power that we have no control over as an individual. There are things to be afraid of, and there's a way of recognizing that those things are scary. And I think that there's a compassion in that. And that's why I always think that with horror genres in particular, you can't have good horror without having a compassion for something, without having a kindness for something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I really like, I mean, it feels so basic to answer, but that's why I really like Us, like Jordan Peele's Us. And I know that like when that movie initially came out, it had mixed reviews. It wasn't as clean, but it wasn't, I don't think it was received in the same way Get Out was. But I feel like there's such this compassion for this family, and for Red in particular, the villain of the movie, spoilers, there is like a compassion and a warmth to her, and a humanity always given to her in ways that just strike me off everything that I appreciate, and I actually really like. And isn't focused on so much like acknowledging that she is scary, but also simultaneously knowing the circumstances that created the tethered in that movie. And that's just why I really like them. Hell, I'll even shout out a like cross like platform media is the idea of something like a Resident Evil, which is extremely goofy, but I do think, you know, what's the horror of that game? Oh, like this big pharmaceutical company is taking advantage of people and poisoning them and overcosting them for vaccines. What world, you know? You know, that's the stuff that I think I really like about horror, because it does acknowledge people's fears and validates them in a way in which I think can be really thoughtful. And don't get me wrong, a lot of bad horror out there that is just like, what if we took those same ideas and then just made them like harmful and weaponized against the people who suffer from them? But I think when it's at its best, it's doing the opposite.
Gotcha. So you'd say the pinnacle of the genre is Jordan Peele's Us then?
Yeah, I think so. I think Jordan Peele's Us is like one of the, it's a modern pick, and that's kind of why I'm choosing, or a contemporary pick, and that's kind of why I'm choosing it, because I feel like it's, you could go back to like an Exorcist, you can go back to, you know, even like a slasher flick, but I do think that I like the idea of picking a contemporary option just because, yeah, like people are actively improving. I would say even Jordan Peele in particular is also like seeing what was done in the past and continuing to grow on it right now.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That makes a lot of sense. On to wing number three. For wing number three, I am doing Sriracha.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Great.
Yeah. You know, I think Sriracha has like a bite at the beginning of it, but it normally fades, you know?
Right. Sriracha mellows out very quickly.
I really like Sriracha, though.
I like it too. I put it on most stuff.
Oh, same.
Wow, it's almost like we're friends. It's almost like we have similar tastes. Mm-hmm. We both instinctually bought these Impossible Wings.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, totally. I think Sriracha has sincere heat to it. It just goes away really quickly, you know?
Right. I agree. I don't think we're going to need water. I don't think we're going to need almond milk or anything. I think we're chugging along pretty well.
Yeah. And I'll even say, too, like, let's be honest, too. I feel like I kind of want, you know, despite the fact of my fear of my tummy, I kind of want to get fucked up a little bit. So, like, I really made sure to, like, coat my wings, too. Because I didn't want to just, I read online everywhere that they, like, cook them in the sauce. They toss them in it afterwards. They make sure they get a good coating on it. And so I really tried to do that when I was preparing mine, too, so that it wouldn't feel like I was jipping myself out of a experience. Or feeling like, because it's like, I don't know how often we're going to break these out. Be like, yeah, let's fuck ourselves up with the last dab. So it's like, better to have one really, really awful experience versus, you know, trying to have a measured one over time.
Yeah, we should let our audience know what our preparation is. I agree with your sentiment. I don't think I dipped them in afterwards. I dipped my wings in the sauces beforehand and then cooked them. And now I'm adding the sauce after the fact.
Oh, okay. All right. That's a fair process. I like that.
Yeah. So for question number three, it is from Celine. Celine asks, if Joe, me, took a day off as co-host and you, Michael, could talk about any character or any show with any person, what would you talk about and who would it be with?
Well, damn, Celine, I feel like I'm gonna talk a little sugar about you here for a second, because listen, if there's anybody who I know can activate her mind as alive kind of moment, I feel like Celine, because she had such a nuanced depiction of and conversation with Korra during those episodes, and during the episodes where we covered Legend of Korra, and she had such a way of bringing, like I always say, like, it's not, I think the thing we can do at times, which is acknowledging where is my personal connection with this and what is on, you know, what is on the screen right now. And I think that is something I've always admired about Celine, just as like a person who kind of can do a kind of critical theory of anything. And that's something that I think is really admirable and something I really enjoy doing. And I think that's kind of like the forthright nature of it, because I just think that she is really good that way. And I think if anyone could you know, match your chaotic energy, Joe, as the Fozzie Bear to my Kermit, so to say, I think that she would make a great fit. But I suppose for the sake of not just kind of like boomeranging the question, it's one of those things where I feel like anybody I think of in my life that I would want to bring on, like Kyle, who's in the other room right now, It would just completely change the dynamic of our show in some ways, because my interactions with Kyle would be so, like, our conversation would be so different just in terms of cadence, how we speak to each other, even in all that. Even if I brought on someone like Austin or Cameron, who are our good friends, or Nessa, another good friend, it would just be so different. But I guess for the purposes of this, I would say, I think if I was going to bring on Nessa, oh, we got to talk about Harley Quinn, right? It's like, I love that new show that's out right now, and I would love to talk about that with Nessa. I feel like if Austin came on, I feel like I'd want to break down like a Bleach or like one of those long running anime with Austin, just because I know he knows, like, both of us have seen it in the same
One Piece.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, I guess I haven't seen as much One Piece as Austin has, because he's like, I believe he's caught up.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't keep up with anime.
Fair enough.
But revealing my hand.
Yeah, in the same way that I would want to talk about Jujutsu Kaisen with Cameron, and if I had to talk about anything with Kyle, I'd probably want to talk about like a Final Fantasy or something like that, or some type of JRPG hero that I know we both played, or even maybe a Bat Family character as well.
Mm-hmm. So what would you talk about with Celine then?
Oh, with Celine? Oh, I mean, we got to shout out. We got to talk about the bear right now. I would feel remiss to talk about it without you there. Don't get me wrong. On a show that's about cooking.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I feel like, Celine's also on One Piece right now, so we could also talk about that, because we're probably getting close to the same area. Yeah, I feel like the bear is the thing that comes to my mind with Celine. Maybe because it's just so current.
I think it says a lot about you that the question was, watch any show with anyone, and you gave me a very long-winded response about all the personal relationships that you have with your friends and family.
I mean, these are your friends as well.
I know, they're my friends and family. I'm a host here, Michael.
Yeah. And, fair enough.
I'm being professional. You know, you had the opportunity to say, like, yeah, I'd do it with Paul Rudd. I'd do it with...
Oh, we're bringing celebrity...
With anyone. The question was anyone, friends and family. And that is my point. You went to friends and family.
Oh, okay.
You could have had any celebrity, any historical figure, anything, dead or alive. You could have had fucking Kermit. And you went, no, I wanna go with my friend Celine, and I want to talk about this really hot new shit that we're both super into called The Bear.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really admirable.
No, I love you.
Oh, well, I love you too. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to wing number four.
Yeah, let's do it.
I have jalapeno pepper hot sauce from Trader Joe's.
I have a knockoff Tapatio kind of thing. I mean to eat this one. Let me preface this by saying, putting it later, I don't like Tapatio. I really don't. Like, I think it's just vinegar. I understand it's got a little bit of heat in there, but it's just vinegar. Like, that's all it is.
I agree. Like, sauces that rely on vinegar, they're cheap.
disgusting, yeah.
Give me a blended pepper.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Blended pepper 9 times out of 10. All right, mm-hmm. but we're gonna go through it for the sake of the show. So, yeah, like I said, it's vinegar. It's like a little bit of heat, but it's vinegar. It's gonna go away so quick.
Ooh, I'm lucky that's the case for you because my jalapeno pepper sauce after the sriracha sauce is kind of feels like it's layering a bit.
Oh yeah,
I can feel it layering a bit. Yeah, I'm going for water.
Are you going for water? You're gonna hit the water? Mm-hmm. I'll hit the water with you.
You know, you don't have to mirror me for everything. I, as the host, am supposed to mirror you. You Joe, do whatever works for you.
We've been doing this podcast for how long? We're gonna toe that line now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For those of you at home, because we're doing a podcast and you can't see what's happening.
Yeah.
I just noticed Michael is eating every single piece of wing, every single wing with chopsticks.
Yes.
Why?
Because listen, unlike Sean Evans and his fucking recording crew, we don't have that here. We have many things that we're also taking care of. I have 2 monitors for this, and I have to make, you know, I'm adjusting sound levels occasionally. I got to keep my hands a little bit free, all right? I got to keep my hands a little bit clean.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm doing this half because in the fear that, like, because I also move my hands when I speak, too, that what if I, like, flick a little bit of sauce and I get sauce in my eye? Because that's going to be no-go.
I understand the problem.
Mm-hmm. But I respect you for just kind of raw-dogging them, you know?
I am. I'm just licking my fingers afterwards like a fucking animal. All right. So our fourth question, Michael, yep. In 2016, right? It was 2016 that you started a D&D campaign.
Yes.
In your years as Dungeon Master for that campaign, what have you learned about storytelling and writing that helped you evaluate movies and TV better?
That's a really good question, Joe. I think what it really has done is given me the ability to see what is being attempted. Because I think that that's the thing that I have as a GM that I think every single GM is going to feel, is that you are going to, at times, you're just going to shotgun things. You're going to be like, mm-hmm. Hey, I'm just throwing them out there and seeing what works. What are people interested in? What are people like? What are people inclined towards? And every now and then, not every single idea you're going to have is good. And sometimes you're going to have a really good idea that you just can't execute properly. And so mm-hmm. I think that it has given me an appreciation for when something, I think it is like kind of like the sum of their parts kind of conversation where, yeah, like I could see how the ending isn't very good, but that middle part really was grasping at something. And it gives me the ability to appreciate something in its parts versus just what it is as a whole. Which, like, you know, when they say when you leave stories or leave something, you are, you know, sometimes it's the last thing you see or something. People remember the last few episodes of a show. You know, it got me better about looking at little pieces, you know, music choices that they made in certain moments, right. Mm-hmm. You know, the specific fights that happen or something like that, animation choices, anything like that, that really made me start looking at things and pieces and appreciating that, you know, even if it wasn't like fully executed properly, there was thought put into them. And I think sometimes mm-hmm. that is still worth crediting. And, you know, maybe it's because that, like, me as also, once again, as a GM, not every idea I had was good. And yet I had the fucking charity of my players to be, yeah, because we love you and we have buy-in with you, we're going to kind of sit through your really, really bad idea this session, because just, that's, you know, that's just, you know, not everything could be a winner, right?
It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. You're right. Not everything has to be a winner.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as one of your players, I'll say that you had quite a few winners.
Oh,
and
thank you.
I
appreciate that.
I'm glad that being a DM has, a GM has taught you to look at the minutia of the media that we're consuming a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I totally understand what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's one of those things where it reminds me of how, like, I remember when in high school, people used to joke about how, like, eventually you stop following movies for directors or even actors or whoever, and you kind of start following for people who are a little more behind the scenes, and that makes a lot of sense to me now, you know? And mm-hmm. it feels a little bad taking me, it took me this long to get there, but it is one of those things, yeah.
All right, so, on to wing number 5. I believe we're both doing Los Calientes.
Yes, this is 5, yeah.
All right. Shake that sauce up.
shake that salsa.
Get it right in the fucking mic for you.
Yeah.
That flavor, oh my god.
That is like miles better than the classic.
Mm.
Like this
and
is
at the end. It really does leave you with heat.
Yeah, it's growing in the throat. It's got a lot of throat burn to it.
Mm.
I think that this is like a comfortable hot sauce. I could be eating this while like maintaining a conversation, you know, being like, hey, what's up? You know, we're kind of eating over mm-hmm. chips kind of thing. We're just kind of mm-hmm. catching up, but I want a little bit of heat just because it's like, that's the type of texture and kinesthetic sensation I'm in the mood for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is good. I sincerely enjoyed that. I would probably eat that. I will probably mm-hmm. finish this bottle.
Can I let you in on a secret?
Yeah.
Before recording this, I did open this and I started using it beforehand because I knew it was going to be good.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
In this progression of heat, it's actually hitting me pretty hard. Harder than it did before.
Really? Really? Okay. Yeah.
For the audience at home, Michael hasn't even broken a sweat. He only drank water because I drank water. He hasn't reached for anything yet.
Mm-hmm.
So question number 5.
Yes.
Is from Austin.
Oh.
So some listeners at home might not know, Michael's a really big fan of Riverdale.
Oh my god.
Okay. Michael has seen multiple seasons of Riverdale. Are you currently caught up on the show?
No, I really gotta tune into the latest season.
Okay, so he's missing out on the latest season, the season where mm-hmm. for some reason, like, I think Cheryl becomes like Scarlet Witch.
They have
superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Austin's question is not whether or not you've seen the most recent season. It is, if you had to take a character trait from 5 different Riverdale characters, like a single trait from 5 different characters, and combine them into one ultimate Riverdale heartthrob, what would you pick and why?
Oh, it's gotta be Dark Betty in general, kind of like her. Just
what
the
do you
nature
mean in general?
Of...
You have to pick a single aspect of Dark Betty.
Okay. How about that? Her drive. All right.
The drive of Dark Betty. Okay.
The drive of Dark Betty.
Okay.
We need the angst of Cole Sprouse Jughead Jones.
All right, Jughead's angst.
We need the yeah. I guess we'll take the money and capability, like money slash resources of Ronnie.
You know, who doesn't want or need a seemingly infinite amount of money? Veronica's money.
Yeah. And then I think we need the sheer fucking dingus, you know, brain of Archie.
Okay.
And
we need this character to be a himbo.
Yeah.
All right.
And then we need the pure chaos that Cheryl can bring, right?
Yeah.
We need, not even that, we need, like, the pure, like, center of attention, demanding kind of personality from Cheryl. And I think that you put that all together, and you get, like, the most obnoxious, yet probably simultaneously the most, everything that is, like, right and wrong about CW dramas, right? Everything that is, like, you have all the mm-hmm. angst, you have all these weird leaps in logic that are, like, how do they have access to this? Well, I guess they're rich. Yeah, sure, they have this. Why not? You know, this is just what I'm choosing to accept as fact. And I think that in particular could be really funny.
For sure.
What is their name? It's got to be, like... It's got to be an alliteration because they're all alliteration. That's the point, because it's kind of like that old like comic style. So it's got to be like Crystal Chaos or something like that, you know?
Or Mikey Metalasses.
Mikey Molasses?
No, Mikey Metalasses.
No, okay. Esteban Encanto, you know?
Sure.
And I want to point out something to you. Everyone's on me like, oh, Michael watches Riverdale. Michael watches fucking Riverdale. Like, he's the only one. Joe, in college, you used to come over and we would watch it together. And you're clowning me. You're clowning me.
I'd like to point out, I only did that twice.
Yes.
I only did that twice, to be clear. But I will concede in that I did watch all of season one.
Yes.
I did watch all of season one of Riverdale.
Yes.
And then I fell off like a normal human being.
You didn't stay on for the fucking wacky fucking hijinks of season like 3 onward.
Don't get me wrong, I love and hate the CW, but I know when to stop. You know, it's funny. We have not talked about the CW enough on this podcast in proportion to like how much we have actually seen of the CW. We've 100%. Seen like multiple seasons of The Arrow, multiple seasons of The Flash. What else? I've watched multiple seasons of Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm on like season 5 of Gilmore Girls. What else is there? There's Pretty Little Liars, right?
I think that's...
Is that a CW show or is it an ABC? Yeah. It might be an ABC family show. Fuck me.
Okay. Let me ask you this. You sat through Arrow, you sat through The Flash, you sat through Legends of Tomorrow. There is something that pulls you. Let me ask you a question, buddy. What is it that, like, I know why I like CW nonsense. I think I just explained why I like CW nonsense. What is it that brought you, like, kind of got your hooks in, other than, of course, like, you know, the superhero? It was kind of part of that, like, you know, we had Marvel movies, then we had the CW DC shows, which are kind of their own beast and like very different from Marvel. So I'm curious, like, what got its hooks in you?
I mean, like, the hooks for the CW was like I started watching Arrow when Arrow came out. Yeah. I was a fan of the Arrowverse from the get go. And the reason why I got into that is because I watched that because I watched the Justice League animated series, specifically Justice League Unlimited, which kind of used Green Arrow as kind of a centerpiece character. It was an ensemble cast, and there were different focus characters for each episode, but Green Arrow was the center, and I really liked him. Yeah. And then I thought, oh, I'm going to watch this show that's about Green Arrow, and it's really, like, in the true spirit of the Green Arrow comics, it's just a ripoff of Batman.
Yep.
so much so that it doesn't even have like Green Arrow's like jovial tone. It's just like a dark and gritty. It's just Batman, but with a Green Arrow skin.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of got me hooked into it. And I think the reason why I continue to watch more shows and then I expanded outward from that is because I realized what the CW does for better and for worse is that it's soap opera storytelling, which is similar to comic books.
Yeah.
You'll have a long-form narrative that a writer will do on a run, but sometimes that run meanders. Sometimes editorial's like, wait, we need something else, and they'll throw some shit on you all of a sudden. Sometimes it's just a monster of the week.
Yeah.
You know, the character dynamics that the CW creates initially is great. The complicated part about the CW and the reason why it can suffer in comparison to comic book runs is that a run will end when writers leave. A whole creative team can leave, right? Mm-hmm. In the CW, the writers are still there. So for 6 fucking seasons, you've got The Flash going literally running in circles in terms of character development.
Big time.
And so that's what like threw me off from specifically the superhero CW stuff and from other CW shows as well. I find CW shows tend to do better when they don't have so long of seasons.
Big time.
You might end up in a situation like with Supernatural, which I also watched.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Where it goes so long, you enter 20 seasons. And it literally becomes a completely different show with completely different stakes entirely. And you're like, well, I guess this is what I like now. Anyway, we don't need this episode to become a CW rant, but maybe we should move on to wing number 6.
Let's do it.
So for me, wing number 6, I actually happen to have another hot one sauce just by chance.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is a brand called Lucky Dog. I got their version called Year of the Dog, which is like a Thai chili pineapple sauce. It's really fucking good, but it's also really spicy. So I placed that at number 6 and at number 7, because I don't have that hot of hot sauces hanging around all the time. No, what do you have right now at 6?
I have like this Kentucky something sauce. I admittedly don't have the bottle in front of me here. Generic branded hot sauce kind of thing. I read online that it was supposed to be hot, so I picked it, and it was cheap at the market. That's my reasoning.
All right. Well, best of luck to you with the mystery sauce.
It's hot. Like, it's another vinegary one, so that's why I'm a little bit disappointed. But it's hot. I'll give it that it's hot. Like, you know. I don't know if I would eat this,
though. They
did
the best with what
they had. Yeah. I don't know if I would eat more of this, but, you know, it's got heat in it, yeah.
That's disappointing. I'm sorry for you, friend. But
how are you?
I hate to brag, mine's better.
Oh, absolutely. I would believe it. I would probably eat yours, too.
Mm-hmm. Los Calientes starts with a bang, and it, like, keeps it. Lucky Dog builds up as you continue to eat it.
Yeah.
So I'm still feeling the heat. it's not like bad intense, but it's persistent.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try the White Claw to see if it'll do anything for me. Yeah. Out of curiosity. But
yeah, go for it.
That was better than the OJ. I would rather do that over orange juice. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. All right, I'm taking that next time.
Yeah. Who would have thought alcohol and fire is a good mix?
Yeah. who would have thought? Mm-hmm. All right, so for question number six, aside from movies and TV, you're pretty big on video games. We don't talk about video games on this podcast, and you've even mentioned it a couple times through this interview.
No.
Yeah. In high school, you were actually known as the King of Platinums because you would always try to platinum a game on your PS3.
Wow, you've really done your research for this question, Joe. It's almost like you were there.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we got another question from Kyle. What makes a good Final Fantasy video game? You mentioned it earlier, so we might as well continue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, it makes sense because my brother and I, we just got done playing Stranger Paradise, and if you don't know what game that is the We're Here to Kill Chaos game from all the memes.
I'm here to kill chaos.
Man, I feel like it's such an interesting question because I feel like all the Final Fantasy games are like, you can view them all as a byproduct of what was popular and what was on like the public mind at that time. In the same way that people always talk about, there's no way about talking about Final Fantasy VII, you know, the most famous one, arguably, without talking about Neon Genesis Evangelion, right? Like the very like dirty sci-fi aesthetic, everything's kind of falling apart, is about a world decaying, is about a protagonist who has no sense of self and is so desperately trying to reclaim some of that. And desperately doesn't want to be himself as well. And in the same way that after having 7 and 8, there's this push to go back to the high fantasy, to like almost kind of like that, to leave the lens of postmodern, to go back to that romantic atmosphere of, hey, let's go back to what actually was magical about fantasy. Yet simultaneously, there's a very famous part about Final Fantasy IX is that you're not playing as a warrior, you're playing as a thief and a rogue. And the main love interest, Dagger, is also not a white mage. But they meet when they're both in costume and during a theatric performance where he is dressed as a knight and she is dressed as a white mage. So it's still playing upon this old fantasy tropes, but simultaneously knowing, oh, he's a thief and she is a summoner. Like, there's a difference here in the way they're trying to play with these ideas. And I think, at least, when it is capturing that, like, kind of, like, moment in time of what is on the public mind and what is it that the fantasy is. Because in some ways, even in the pursuit of the more darker tones, normally they always end with the hint of hope. At least that's how I would interpret most of those games. So it is an answer to a question of the time. And I think that I really like that. That's why I like those games. It's probably why I think it follows people. Why, you know, people will play the next one in the series and still feel like, oh, this has meaning to me right now in particular. Or even why it could be hard to go back to them, because maybe you don't have a context for it. In the same way that if you played it then, in the same way that, you know, I'm sure someone playing, like a 6 might not get all the context that was around during its creation, right? You know, even though 6 is heralded as one of the best in the series, it might not hit the same way. Hell, even something like 10 might not hit the same way, even though for me, a recovering Catholic kid where the main enemy is a giant whale called Sin, who's actually your father, you know, like that just hits. Oh. That just hits, you know? I think that might be a spoiler. So I guess spoilers for Final Fantasy X? It happens so soon, though. But anyway, that's what I think makes a good Final Fantasy, is that it is a unique identity all in its own right. And I think the idea that it does capture something about the time through which it's created, that's what makes me like him so much.
Very cool. Very cool. Let's move on to wing number 7, huh?
Yep, let's do it.
So for wing number 7, once again, I'm using the Lucky Dog sauce. Michael, what do you got?
I got something called the Arizona Gunslinger. It's apparently got a little mix of jalapeno and habanero. We're going to see how this goes. I will say everything from this on point onward was in my local grocery store was in like labeled with "this is hot" section. So We'll see if it actually is.
You've been pretty composed this entire time, I gotta say.
Who would have thought we're not actors in front of a camera? Oh yeah, that's creeping up.
Where do you feel it?
That's creeping up. It's very on the tongue. A lot of tongue burn. Mm. Yeah, I could feel this one. This one's hitting. It's good, though. I like this one.
Really?
I'll keep
you
this one.
You want the
one.
Flavor?
I keep this one, yeah.
Good to know, good to know.
Can I ask you this something? Because I have my own personal definition. Because I know mm-hmm. there's actually a very real definition. Ooh, that's growing. There's a very real definition here, but I'm curious how you use it. How do you differentiate between peppers and chiles?
Is it size?
I mean, that is part of them, yeah.
I always kind of did it with size. A pepper mm-hmm. is larger, a chile is smaller.
Yeah.
What is the actual...
Careful around your eyes.
Other hand. I'm not using that hand.
mm-hmm. I mean, the answer is they're just actually two genuses or two different species of the same genus. But generally how I always colloquially use them was that peppers you add for flavor, chiles you add for heat kind of thing. That like, you know, jalapeno is not mm-hmm. a chile because it is something you generally add for the flavor of it in the same way you would add like a bell pepper because you want that sweetness. But mm-hmm. something like an habanero, I mean, obviously habanero has a flavor to it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like people, when they add it, they're adding it mostly for the heat factor, you know? At that point,
oh, sure.
You're getting into the idea of like, no, I'm adding this because I want it to get hot, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is compounding for me. Yeah. All right, enough with the questions for me. This is about questions for you.
Yeah, sorry.
If you had one podcast episode you'd want to revise or redo, which one would it be and why?
Oh, goodness. This is a question for both of us, though, because I do think we have had so many episodes where... We've had so many episodes, right? And we only have an hour, right? Sometimes I feel like, man, like I'll hop off and then be like, man, why? I wish we could have said more, right? I wish we could have said this, right? Or even worse, I'll be in the shower the next day after we record and be like, mm-hmm. oh, fuck, why didn't I say that? You know, that's such mm-hmm. a better thought. Why didn't I think that? And I think of all the episodes that I do that the most with, or I think I did this the most after we recorded, is probably, I guess, for the sake of picking a kind of older option, I remember when we talked about Hades, I wish we had structured our episode a little bit more so that we did talk about, like, these several different conflicts within it. Because there's so many ways to tackle that game from just the gameplay standpoint, but, like, I wish we had broken it down more into, like, the subplots by character. And by stuff, just because I think each of them have something different to say and how they also relate to Zagreus during those times as well.
Sure.
And that also kind of compartmentalizes in how it uses the Greek mythology as a whole to tell tell a complete and cohesive story too.
Sure.
And of course, I think I'll even say that like I'll have to throw out there too about something like it would also be about like Evelyn Wong from Everything Everywhere All at Once, just because because we could have just done a whole nother episode, but it is a little bit mm-hmm. how I wish we had talked a little bit more about her, her feeling of like negativity and like loss of self as you get older. And I wish that like, that was something we could have structured the episode a little bit more on, and about how that doesn't like that apathy is almost mm-hmm. incompatible with other apathy. And I think that that's kind of part of that movie about how mm-hmm. her growing apathy with all the people around her is not dissimilar from Joy's, and mm-hmm. yet they only makes them hate each other. Like there's no growing in that apathy, and it's only when, you know, she learns to empathize with her daughter that she gets there. But, mm-hmm. you know, that's like part of that movie. And that's like why I really like it. And, you know, fuck, who knows? Maybe that just means we'll do another episode.
I'm not down. I think your philosophy on redos is really interesting. You're going after episodes that I would say did pretty well on and had a lot to say about.
Oh, yeah.
Your version of like a redo or redux is really more of an addition. Like, what more could we say?
True.
We have more time for that.
Fair enough.
I think... For me, if I had to like re-record an episode, the one that comes to mind for me are Mitchell's versus the Machines episode.
Oh, because it had
the
to.
Reason mm-hmm. the reason why I would want to redo that episode is because Michael and I, before we sit down, we'll take notes you know, to see how the sausage gets made. We'll watch whatever media it is, whatever medium it is, and then we'll take notes on that. And then we will, like, come together. We'll, like, Slack each other and be like, yay or nay, yes or no. Did you like it or did you not? Like, very quick, like, mm-hmm. two-sentence thoughts.
Yeah.
And then we come together, we talk through our notes and what points we're going to hit upon, and then we talk for an hour, or yeah. a little more than an hour, really. The reason why I would want to redo the Mitchells versus the Machines episode is because I didn't read the note, your side of the notes beforehand. I did not read the tone of your notes beforehand. Mm-hmm. All I did was get the two sentence, like, not my favorite. Okay. Mm-hmm. Michael isn't into it. And you were like, I think I'm going to rely a little bit more on you with this episode. I said, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And the entire time it was just me defending the movie from Michael tearing it to pieces. And I wish we could redo it just so we could have a more even conversation.
Fair enough. That's all. That's a good, that's a good point though.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you get, it's easy, especially in our seats now, to get broadsided by someone's extreme emote, like extreme take on something that, mm-hmm. yeah, like every now and then when one of us has a very distinct reaction to something, it's hard to answer that without, you know, without expecting it, right?
Yeah, for sure. For wing number 7, I have a habanero hot sauce that I got from Trader Joe's. I've tried making a few habanero sauces on my own, and I can really only have like 5 bites of it before I can't handle it anymore. Like I'm just eating pepper at this point, and it just kills me every time I try to make it from scratch. So this sauce is pretty spicy. There's even a little like flame meter thing that goes like to the max on it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, this is hot.
Yeah. I think it's a Serrano. Serrano and habanero is my second to last one. I have like a Serrano and Adobe kind of mix. So we're going to see how this goes.
I put way too much of a dab on my
habanero one. Oh, wonderful.
I'm wonderful. A little fucked.
Weirdly, not as hot as the last one. I think I should have swapped the order of these two, but it's still good. I like the flavor still. I think this is good flavor. But I fucking love adobe pepper, but sorry, go ahead.
So adobe pepper, is that like the adobo sauce that you could get like cans of chiles in? Like chipotle chiles in?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was a pepper for the sauce mm-hmm. that chiles come in. Oh no. I didn't think the habanero was so bad. But the more I move my tongue in my mouth.
Oh, Joe. No. Joe. No. No. Are you okay?
I was about to make the same comment that you made where I was like, oh, it's not as bad as the last one. Me crushing a white claw like I'm a frat bro at brunch. Mm-hmm. The whole point of this was to be a struggle for you, not mm-hmm. me, the interviewer.
Like, once again, to be fair, your sauce might genuinely be hotter than mine. I feel how I'm feeling right now. This one was definitely not as hot as the last one. So,
mm-hmm.
So like, once again, give yourself some credit. We're technically working with different material right now.
I have to do this one again. Okay, so question for you.
Yeah, give it to me.
We were talking about Mitchells versus the Machines. The reason why you don't like that movie is because of the dad narrative, right?
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. So if you've been listening to the podcast at all, you know that it's like Michael's least favorite trope in modern movies and like television of this dad narrative. So my question for you is, what's your favorite contemporary trope that's kind of emerged in the last like 5 to 10 years in mm-hmm. film or television?
God, it's so interesting that you say that, just because I feel like there are things, there's that trend on Twitter right now, as people talk about their favorite ship dynamics, right? Like I'm mm-hmm. sure you've seen that on your feed, right? About people just
I've sent like 3 of them to Shannon, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, about like these 3 things that have come up, and it's so strange, because I feel like at times I can recognize them. It's kind of like, we brought up himbos earlier, right? That like the himbo as a whole is this, it's, you know, attempt to reclaim a term and create an identity around a character that I think people can have a lot of affection for, even though simultaneously in the back of my brain, part of me feels like, well, yeah, who wouldn't want to be known as like super attractive, but like, you know, kind of incompetent, but also means well in 90% of situations? Like, isn't that just like that's a wish fulfillment in some capacity, that like this is how people would desire to be perceived, right? As attractive mm-hmm. in many forms. and perhaps still a little bit incapable. Not completely out of, like, saying you're perfect. You have a very clear flaw. And the flaw is that you have an imperfection, or you're incapable in something, which, yeah, of course. I mean, if you don't think that you're incapable in something, then maybe you have a bigger problem. But I think that something that has come out recently that I have a lot of affinity for, that there is an acceptance of absurdity within criticism. Within criticism, that, like, something, just because something, I mean, don't get me wrong, there are people absolutely being like, this doesn't make sense, therefore it is bad, kind of thing. But there is a way of accepting it and talking about it outside of that lens that makes me really like it. And that, like, when we talk about Thor Love and Thunder, and about how there's a lot of things in that movie that don't, quote unquote, make sense, but in my, you know, in part of my brain, I'm like, I don't kind of care. Like, it's still fun at times, and there are things I like about that. And just like we were just talking about Stranger of Paradise, and I won't get into too much spoilers because it is newer, but I think that movie, I think that game is absurd. I think it doesn't make any sense at times, and yet simultaneously I really like it. When I finished the game with my brother, because we played most of it together because it's multiplayer, I compared it at the very end to being, it's the Revenge of the Sith of Final Fantasy games. Because it is a tragedy, because it is something dealing in the language of high drama. It's pulling upon the nature of, like, hey, you're playing as the OG big bad of Final Fantasy 1. Like, you know that from the beginning. You know the story's not going to end well. And yet, it is the stupidest game you could imagine. It is so goddamn silly. And yet, at the end of it, I would be remiss to say I didn't feel something. It's in the same way that Anakin shouting at Obi-Wan, I hate you, makes it still brings a type of a guttural emotion to me when I watch it. And the ability to kind of accept that and understand that as what it is, but accept the absurdity of it, that is something that I really like. And that's something I don't even mind in my stories now, where, yeah, I can be like, this movie is goofy, but also I like it, and also I think it's got interesting ideas in it still, and I walk away from it liking it a lot more than I expected to.
So you would say it's like the anti-CinemaSins take, right?
Yeah. It's I think it's absurdity. I think perhaps that is, to really answer, it's the acceptance of absurdity as being worthy of, you know, worthy of critiquing, worthy of just being in a story.
Gotcha. Yeah, for sure. I like when my narratives are silly. On to wing number 9. I think I may have misspoke and said last one was 7 when it was 8. I don't remember.
You're good.
Yeah, but on to wing number 8. I've got my habanero hot sauce again. I'm going to go through pain. And I said 9. Did I say 8 again? Fuck me.
You said 8.
See, this is what I mean. We're on 9. I can't count past 5, Michael. I'm not in math. You think I know math?
Mm-hmm.
So this is wing number 9. I'm doing a retake of the habanero hot sauce. Michael, what do you have at 9?
I basically have exactly what you have then. I have a straight habanero hot sauce. I was like, this is probably the hottest thing I could find without buying one of the sauces that was like $20. So
fair enough.
Let's just see what happens, right?
Cheers to that.
Cheers to us. I initially put it in my mouth like chew, 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 like, because, you know, we're trying to do this with getting the least amount of chewing possible. Oh, yeah. It's there. It's there.
Yet you're not reaching for anything. Michael's refusing to have any drink whatsoever.
I'm going to have my water. I'm not going to hit the milk because you don't have milk. But
oh, my God. I hope that water does something for you. Have you been feeling the heat compound in your mouth at all?
You know, this is something I heard like, this is like part of the hot ones thing, right? That I wonder if, like, what's happening to the guests is happening to me, that as you're doing this, you're having, like, you're building a small tolerance. Mm-hmm. And that, like, I feel like for me, 7 was, like, it felt like the hottest. And this is hot, but it's hard to gauge the difference at this point. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That, like, I feel like the jalapeno and habanero one was the hottest one. But that could be just because it was a bigger jump from 6 to 7, right? It's kind of like how people react more to the bomb than they do the last dab.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And that's
a fair point.
And so that's what I think is kind of happening to me right now. Once again, who knows? Maybe I'm just going to shit myself at the end of this episode.
Maybe. So, for our ninth question, it's from Cameron.
Oh, okay. Hi, Cameron.
Cameron asks, if you had no choice but to be a henchman for any supervillain from either DC or Marvel, who would you work for?
Oh, it's got... Okay, supervillain. Can I say I could be part of the Brotherhood of Mutants?
You see, that's a tough question. Or we're going to
Magneto for the purposes of this.
That's a tough question, because now in the current status quo of X-Men, basically anyone who's a mutant is basically a hero or anti-hero.
Yeah, like, yeah, that would be a bad...
There are very few characters who would be considered villains, and even the ones that were, like Sabretooth or like Mr. Sinister. Like, mm-hmm. Sabretooth is, like, he's also becoming an anti-hero in his own sense, in a narrative that's about prison abolition. Go read the Sabretooth comic book if you haven't, by Victor Laval, I believe.
Yeah.
But to answer your question about could you be for the Brotherhood of Mutants? I'm going to say, if we're talking about the classical sense, like in the 80s, like, there's a few different brotherhoods. There's Magneto's Brotherhood. There's Mystique's Brotherhood. There's, like, Toad's fucking Brotherhood at one point. Mm-hmm. You want to be a part of Magneto's Brotherhood? There's a current Brotherhood that's led by Storm, actually. Yeah, you want to be Magneto's Brotherhood?
Yeah, I would be in Magneto's Brotherhood. Let's go fuck some shit up. But perhaps I'm misunderstanding the question, just because it is also... It's also, like, my thing about Magneto, and I think that's, like, the common now contemporary take by Magneto is... He's not a supervillain. He's just...
No. He wasn't a supervillain in the 80s.
No.
He, so, like kind of was a supervillain in the 90s, and then Grant Morrison did something with him in the aughts that made him more villainous, and then it went back the other way, and now he's, I don't know, one of the best comic book characters ever written. Anyway.
Yeah. 100%.
The question is, like, I think I'm going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
The stipulation, not that, like, mutants are now, like, kind of hero, like, now the Brotherhood and, like, evil mutants are now kind of heroes, but more on the stipulation that the question is about being a henchman.
Yeah.
Like, you're still, like, a cool mutant if you're a mutant, right?
Yeah, fair enough.
You still have something unique about you. The whole point of a henchman is that you're just, like, a normal guy
that's just a dude,
stuck
yeah.
with this asshole of a boss.
Yeah, you're just a dude, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that leads me to two different thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dr. Doom, he has the Doom bots, I know, mm-hmm. but if you work for Dr. Doom, I feel like at very least you would get dental, you know, like you...
Dr. Doom takes care of his people.
Exactly. Right.
That's like the whole point about his, like, everyone loves him in his country. Like, he actually, like, there's like universal healthcare. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, is that, like, I think Dr. Doom, you would actually get benefits, you know, like, listen, you know, Dr. Doom, you know, not always a solid dude, but I feel like there would at least be some perks on the individual level, but I think in a more serious answer, I gotta go for my guy, Mr. Freeze. Like, Mr. Freeze,
really?
Mr. Simp, you know, all he's trying to do is bring back his wife. You know, I guess in the same way I could say Poison Ivy. I guess Poison Ivy doesn't work with people. Mr. Freeze, because he's just trying to bring back his wife. He's just a simp, you know, it probably means he would probably abandon all of us in some fucking, you know, like, cold chamber. But, you know, I would be like, well, you know, if I had to be, like, killed off, it's better than just being, like, you know, Joker gassed by someone. At the very least, I'm like, you know, he's just trying to get his wife back. And I will say, too, that... At very least, if you're Mr. Freeze's henchman, you're probably just running around in, like, a cool jacket all the time. You don't have to worry about, like, putting on Joker makeup or, like, putting on the Two-Face makeup. Like, you know how much time that would probably take you before going out? Like, you just put on, like, a parka or something. You're good to go, you know?
That's true. Okay, that's fair. I like that answer. I like Mr. Freeze henchman.
I'm curious for you, Joe, just because you also have a lineup of villains in your mind that you probably have some compassion for, and we are champion casters. We don't talk about villains very often, so this question is also, thank you, Cameron, for kind of about, like, how, like, which villain do you like, would you be willing to basically be punched out for? So how about you, Joe?
You know, my answer was going to be Poison Ivy, to be honest, but you're right, like, Poison Ivy does only work alone.
Yeah, she's, like, explicitly does not work with people.
Mm-hmm. With the exception of Harley, of course. You know, maybe I'll work with Alistair Smythe.
Oh, okay.
Because Alistair Smythe is, like, you know, he's a Spider-Man villain.
Yeah.
Or, right? Like, I might work for him because you get, like, a cool mech suit out of it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get you.
You know, you do have like some form of protection, and it's not just like a parka that protects you from the cold and the freeze gun. You know?
Fair enough.
Like, I actually get like, oh, I've got like a suit of armor. Like, Spider-Man's gonna like break the armor, but he's not gonna like break a bone.
That's true. You know, that's a good point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that that's a totally respectable answer. And also, I think that's something I had not considered too. That, like, that means that's also declaring which hero you're up against too. And I think of right. all the heroes, then again, you would probably be thrown off a building and like blood would be rushing into your head because you're hung upside down for an extended period of time.
That's true, but it's not like Batman doesn't do that either.
It also, Batman like breaks every bone in your body. He's like,
he'll break
your
bone before he does it first. Yeah, that's what he'll do. Spider-Man pulls his
punches. I didn't
kill
you, you know, I didn't break my rule. All I did was...
All I did was maim you.
Didn't kill him.
I didn't kill you.
Didn't kill him.
I know. Unless you're Ben Affleck. Anyway, moving on to the final dab.
All right. Well, I brought the bottle upstairs just so I could do this.
Yes. So as is tradition, you have to add an extra dab, an extra large dab on top of your coated final wing. So this is the Hot One's last dab, Apollo.
Okay. All right. Got a little bit extra on there.
Oh, fuck.
I put a lot too, so.
Mine spilled onto the board. This is an absurd amount of hot sauce that's about to go straight through my rectum.
Oh.
All right.
Maybe it's
Michael.
Saying, I love you now, because I'm like a little bit afraid.
you have your materials at the ready in case you have a bad reaction to this.
Oh yeah.
You and I are
yeah.
both like pretty good running distance from the bathroom.
Oh yeah.
This
oh,
really
yeah.
does head south.
Oh.
But we'll see. My stomach is kind of turning a little
I know,
bit.
Same.
Maybe it's more out of anxiety. I don't know, but Michael, I've got my wing here.
Yes.
It has been before I take this bite, I just want to say it's been an incredible season with you.
Absolutely.
I love recording this podcast with you. We make it a weekly habit, so we see each other like something stupid like 3 times a week.
True.
And, you know, I'm so thankful we have this audience. I'm so thankful we have loved ones who listen to us and care about us and support us and friends and family. And I'm thankful for you. And I'm thankful that we are goofy enough to do something stupid like this. So here's to you, friend.
I love you, friend. I think you said it all. Ready?
3, 2. Motherfucker just dropped it. He literally dropped the coated wing on his lap.
We're good.
As I was counting down. You good? Do you have enough dab on that?
Yeah.
All right.
Still got it. Yeah.
3, 2, 1. Mm.
Woo!
I smelled it before I ate it.
Same. Oh, goodness.
Yep. Final question for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God.
Yep. Yep. It gets worse. Oh, God. I'm crying. Michael?
It's growing.
It's like an explosion in my mouth. Michael, what's a movie or a show you're frustrated I haven't seen yet?
Oh, God. A movie or a show? That's not fair. You just watched The Bear. I was like, Joe, this is specifically for you. Oh, goodness. Okay, so I was afraid. I'm going to say this first before. I was so afraid that jumping from the last one to this one would be a lot. And oh, shit. Yeah, it's a lot. Oh, whew. Okay.
My ears hurt. Are they supposed to do that?
Same. You're right. It feels like my ears are sweating. You still hear me? Okay. Oh, God. Water really does do nothing. So, Joe has not played these games yet. I'm going to use a game because it's all I can think of right now. I really want Joe to play Yakuza because I know you don't need convincing to do this. I know it's just a matter of means. Yep. But I think it would be everything you like in a story. It is simultaneously the silliest, most absurd, goofiest story you will ever imagine. But it is filled with himbos and very tough men who use a mixture of martial arts, compassionate words to care about each other, and they all work together to tell a genuinely compelling and convincing crime noir story that makes that I think makes for such a an engaging and interesting narrative that is like fundamentally about community and about like this individual who is trying his best to do right in the small specter that he is capable of, and that generally means he's going to fail along the way, but he is also like fundamentally trying his best, and that generally nine times out of ten he will come up on top of that, which is like what we talk about in general, but also what is like so like fundamentally interesting about crime fiction and crime noir, because it just has so much to do and so much to say about all the things we're kind of interested in as just people and storytellers and stuff. But that's the best I could do right now with my head. Ooh, I feel like that went straight to my gut. How are you doing?
I may vomit. Oh god,
I'm sweating. I feel like I'm kind of on. I feel like I'm kind of on the downturn now. How about you? If you don't. Audio listeners, I want you to know Joe is like pacing around his room.
I'm crying.
You try answering the question for me. What do you want me to watch? This is, you know, this could be an answer for the audience and for me, Joe. What would you want me to watch? Like, if we stopped recording tonight, and you were like, "Hey, I'm gonna give you one big recommendation because I think you'd really like it. Cross medium, cross platform. What would it be?" I think the talking does help.
Okay. I'm going to say, if you haven't seen it yet, watch Prey.
Yes.
Have you seen it?
I have not watched it yet. I still need to.
Watch Prey. I think it's going to be the start of a really great new second win on the Predator franchise, but it has like the level of being something as well-regarded and as socially like and culturally impactful as, say, like Alien,
yeah,
or Terminator. Like, the first Predator is fine, all the other Predators suck except for Prey, and even then Predator has a problem with the way in which it depicts Native people, yeah, down to the way in which its themes work, really down to the core. And on top of that, there's a lot of like interesting hypermasculinity going on in that movie, and Prey completely rejects all of that and is really fucking fun. I would recommend Prey to you and to anyone.
Yeah.
All right, folks, I think that's going to be it for our Hot Ones bonus episode. Thank you so much for listening to season 3. Thank you for listening to this episode as we suffer through eating wings, especially the last dab.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, that, you know, I will say I was kind of expecting that to not be as bad as it was. That was worse than I was expecting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's real fucking bad. We're going to feel it for like the next half an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Michael, why don't you tell the wonderful people where they can find you?
You can find me, you know, it's weird, we don't ever do this, we normally save it for the after part. You can find me at twitter.com@next_entry, and a YouTube video essays I write when I eventually get around back to doing that at youtube.com/next_entry.
Uh-huh.
And Joe, you?
For me, I'm mostly on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me on at Joke Tomlin, that's JOUK_Tomlin, TOMLIN. Actually, no. That's Joke Tomlin, JOUK TOMLIN, mm-hmm, on Instagram and Twitter.
And I think, Joe, you already kind of said it, but I do want to say truly, everyone, thank you for submitting your questions. It's a blast to have had you all answer and kind of be part of this as well, just because it does feel really nice to have had more voices than us, just because, I mean, we've said this too to some of our guests that have been on, like, having outside and external input sometimes really can be the little catalyst that makes for a really interesting conversation between the two of us. And man, I hope, I look forward to doing, maybe we'll do something like this again. But yeah, you and I, Joe, will continue to meet up every single week, and I'm so happy that we have it. But oh goodness, all right, thank you everyone for listening.
And until next time, goodbye.
Goodbye. See you soon. Alright, thank you for listening to another episode of Champion Casters.
You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
And if you want to keep the conversation going, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at champion_cast.
You can also email us any of your thoughts or questions at championcasters@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
We'd like to give thanks to the following: Shan Theobald for our logo artwork,
Adam Renroe for our intro and outro music,
Joseph Tomlin for managing our social media,
and Michael Ruiz for editing our episodes.
And I have been your host, Michael Ruiz. You can find me at twitter.com @next_entry and the video essays I write on my YouTube channel, Next Entry.
I have also been your host, Joseph Tomlin. You can find me at twitter.com and Instagram at Joke Tomlin. That is JOUKTOMLIN.
Thanks again for listening, everyone.